Today's daf is Psachim Daf Tes Zayin, and we have five lines from the top of Daf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph V'Sover Rabbi Lazar. Today's daf is being learned as a Zuchus Rufu Shalema, the Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza, Avadia Ben Miriam Leia, Manuela Bas Chana, Avram Ben Shanaz, and Golda Shifra Bas Fega Dina. Today's daf is also being learned Ilu Nishmas Avram Ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim Reb Moshe Chaim. So the topic of yesterday's daf was the Sefer of the Mishnah on Daf Yudalad Amar Aleph. The Mishnah began with Rab Chanina Skan HaKoyhanim's famous memra, and that is that he witnessed in the Beis HaMikdash the Chachamim take basar that was Tomei with a lesser Madrega of Toma and burn it together with basar that was Tomei that was a higher Madrega of Toma. For example, he took basar that was a shlishi latoma and burnt it together with basar that was a rishon latoma. And Rav Chinis kind of camp said it's a very big chiddush. And the reason it's a very big chiddush is because essentially you're taking the basar that's a shlishi latoma, you're making it into a sheni latoma, which means you're being moisef tuma al tomasa. Stating that, Rav Chinis kind of kehanim said that in all the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the kehanim had no problem doing it, even though you're not allowed to be metama kachin. And the reason is because this kachin was anyways hoylech li'ibud. And because it was hoylech li'ibud, so you're anyways not using this kachin, so you could be metamed in the process of getting rid of the kachin. Hoysef Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, I'll tell you even a bigger chiddush that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. The kehanim would take truma that was a shlishi latoma, and they would burn it in a ner that was an avatoma, which means not only were they making a shlishi latoma, a sheni latoma, they would make a shlishi latoma even into a rishon latoma for the same reason, because it was hoylech li'ibud. But a bigger chiddush, because not only would they make a shlishi into a sheni, they would even make a shlishi into a rishon. So what did this have to do with Masechtas Pesachim? So Amar Rameyer said, "Medivreim b'madnu." From Rabbi Chanina, Skanu Kehanim said, you can infer a halacha that's nogeya Erev Pesach, and that is when it comes time to burn your chametz. In the event that you have truma that's chametz, and you have truma tahara and truma tameya, you would have thought that you'd have to make a separate bonfire to burn the tahar truma and a separate one to burn the tameh truma. Why? Because you're not allowed to make truma tameh. So you would think that how could you burn them together? But if Rav Chanina Skana Kehanim said that when they were burning the kachim, they had no problem burning all the basa kachim together, afal pisha moisef tuma al tumasa, and Rabbi Akiva doubled down on that, so I don't see why this would be an issue. And Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah argued. Rabbi Yossi said, "Eino min amida," meaning it's not a good sushta. You're telling tzu what Rabbi Chanina Skana Kehanim said to learn a halacha nogeya erev Pesach. It's not a good tzusha. Then Rabbi Yossi got involved with a machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and the Gemara was confused. What is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua come into this conversation? We're talking about Rabbi Chanina Skana Kehanim, Rabbi Akiva. Who come to Ryan, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? And which Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are we even talking about? And that was Daf Tezvav, where the Gemara came up with two different understandings of what Rabbi Meir might have meant, and based on that, two different understandings as to why Rabbi Yossi was arguing with Rabbi Meir. In one of the Mahalchim in the Gemara came out and said that at the core of the machloikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is whether or not mashkin that's tameh, does it have the ability to now transmit tuma and be metama midday raisa, or does it not have the ability to be metama midday raisa? Rabbi Meir's shita is that Tumas Mashkin Latame Acherim is the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi Shita is Tumas Mashkin Latame Acherim is the Raisa. And it's because of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi Shitois, respectively, as it relates to Mashkin's ability to be Metama, that Rabbi Meir felt you could learn from Rabbi Chanina Skana Kehanim that you could burn Truma Torah and Truma Tumeya, that Achametz Erev Pesach together, and Rabbi Yossi held you cannot. What's the Shitas Ayu? That was the very end of yesterday's daf. But today's daf is going to pick up on that note. And that is not Rab Chanina Skana Kehanim Zalacha, not the machloikis between Rab Meir and Rab Yossi, but rather the digression from the digression. And that is, the Gemara is going to focus on this halacha, Tumas Mashkin. When you have Mashkin, that's Tomei. It's Tomei Midei Raisa. Something comes in contact with it. Ordinarily, if something comes in contact with something that's Tomei, that thing now becomes Tomei. What about Mashkin? Does Mashkin have the ability to be Metama, or does Mashkin not have the ability to be Metama? And in fact, what we're going to see in today's daf is that not only was it a discussion in amongst the Rabbi Seinu Chazal, whether Mashkin has the ability to be Metama, but there was even a tzad that could be Mashkin doesn't even have the ability to become Tameh. So number one, does Mashkin have the ability to become Tomei Midairaisa? And number two, in the event that Mashkin does have the ability to become Tomei Midairaisa, what about to be Metame? Does it have the ability to be Metame Midairaisa or does it not? So just to review the last Braisa, which is really the top line of Daf Teh Zayin Amud Aleph, as it segues right into today's Daf. And that is the Gemara had brought a Braisa where five Tanoim opined as it relates to Tumas Mashkin on a Dairaisa level. Again, Midrabbanan Mashkin is Tameh. The question over here is on a Dairaisa level. Does Mashkin have the ability to be Metameh, or does it not have the ability to be Metameh? So the Braisa, it's Kedai to see inside. Sofik Mashkin, Litameh, Tameh. If you have Mashkin, and there's a Sofik whether the Mashkin is Tameh, the Halach is, we're going to treat it as Tameh. Why are we going to treat it as Tameh? Because Tumas Mashkin is a Dairaisa, meaning Mashkin's ability to become Tameh is a Din Dairaisa. As a result, if you have a Sufik, now if it's Tameh, it's a Sveika Dairaisa, you're going to go Lechumra. Letame Acherim. If you have a question whether Mashkin was Metame something else, so that's already a question of a Sufik Dirabanan. Because Mashkin's ability to be Metame is only a Din Dirabanan, hence me Sufik Tar, you're going to go Lekula Divri Rameir. V'chein hoi Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar held the same way. Sounds like Rabbi Lazar and Rameir were in agreement that Tumas Mashkin is a Dairaisa. However, Mashkin's ability to be Metame is only a Dirabanan. Rabbi Huda said La Kol Tameh. Rabbi Huda said Mashkin is Tameh Midairaisa. Mashkin can be Metame Midairaisa. If that's the case, if you have any suffix as it relates to Tumas Mashkin, whether it's a suffix, whether it's Tameh, whether it's a suffix, whether it has the ability to be Metame, you can always go Lechumra. Because Mashkin is like Oichel, it's no different. It could become Tameh Midairaisa and it could be Metame Midairaisa. And finally, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, they were machriya. They said le oichlin tmeyan le kelim tahirin. Mashkin becomes tamei midairaisa. You wonder if it has the ability to be metame midairaisa. It depends what it's being metame. If it's being metame an oichel, it could be metame midairaisa. If it's being metame keli, it's only metame drum. So what are the three shittas? Remeir and v'cheinam hayir. Rabbi Lazar Omer held that Mashkin becomes Tamei Midairaisa, it could only be Metame Midrabanan. Rabbi Yehuda said it becomes Tamei Midairaisa, and it could even be Metame Midairaisa. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon both held that it becomes Tamei Midairaisa. How about being Metame? Depends. Oichel, it could be Metame Midairaisa. Kalim, it could only be Metame Midrabanan. But one thing is clear. Everybody holds, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, that Mashkin can become Tamei Midairaisa. The whole question was, what about its ability to be Metame? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar said it can't be Metame Midairaisa. Rabbi Yehuda said it is Metame Midairaisa. And Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon said it depends. Oichel and Kalim, Oichel, yeah, Kalim not. But in terms of it being Tamei Midairaisa, it sounds like everybody's in agreement. Mashkin could be Tamei Midairaisa. So, Tigamar, that note. So, Rabbi Lazar, Mashkin, this Lutum Abayilon. Is that true? Rabbi Lazar holds that Mashkin can be Tomei Midairaisa, but Tanya we learned to the Braisa. Rabbi Lazar said, Ein Tumah L'Mashkin Kol Iker. Mashkin has no Tumah Midairaisa at all. Of course, Midrabanan it does. But Rabbi Lazar said, as it relates to Tumas Mashkin, there's no such thing. Ein Tumah L'Mashkin Kol Iker. On a biblical level, Mashkin cannot become Tomei. Teda. And he said, I have a proof. Shari Hayid Yosef ben Yoyezer ish Tzreda. Yosef ben Yoyezer ish Tzreda once said the following testimony. He said, Al Kamtza Dochon. Al Kamtza is a type of grasshopper. So grasshoppers are sometimes kosher. And he said, regarding the Al Kamtza, which is a certain species of grasshopper, he said, it's Dochon. Dochon means it's tahar. It's kosher. You're allowed to eat it. Mashkin base mit Bechaya Dochon. And he said additionally that any beverage, any mashkin that was found in the base mit Bechayim, so that was the proverbial kitchen that was inside the Azara, but the base mit Bechaya, this is very important, is Lav Dafka, but rather mashkin base mit Bechaya, when it's used in Shas, is referring to any mashkin that was found anywhere in the Azara, anywhere in the base Mikdash. The halach is dachon, that it's not tame. So you see that Rabbi Lazar said, and we clearly need the second halacha, that mashkin basement mechaya, any mashkin that was found in the basement mechaya, any mashkin that was found in the base Mikdash, that halacha is that it was tahar. So what's the kasha? If you're going to tell me Tumas Mashkin's Dairaisa, how could there be a difference between Mashkin that's found in the Beis HaMikdash versus Mashkin that's found outside the Beis HaMikdash? In the Beis HaMikdash, the Din Dairaisa of Tumas Mashkin somehow was not in effect. Bishloim of Tumas Mashkin's only the Rabbanon. So you'll tell me in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't make a Gzeira Kehanim's reason, and for whatever reason, they didn't want to be Moisef Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. So you're going to go now and you're going to create a Tumah de Rabbanon in the Beis HaMikdash? That doesn't sound like a good thing. We go out of our way to prevent Tumah from being in the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara's in the Nevei of it. But that, of course, you're not allowed to bring Tumah into the Beis HaMikdash. So if you're not allowed to bring Tumah into the Beis HaMikdash, why would Chazal go now and create a tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. So it makes sense if tumas mashkin is only the Rabbanon, why mashkin Beis Mitbechaya is dachon. But if you're going to tell me that tumas mashkin is a deraisa, how could there be a difference between mashkin that's in the Beis HaMikdash and mashkin that's outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Again, what's the kasha? Rabbi Lazar said what Rabbi Meir said. Sofik mashkin latame tome. Latame acherim tor divi ramei v'chayin hai Rabbi Lazar oimer kidvar. So Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Meir that tumas mashkin is a deraisa. Just its ability to be matame something else is only the Rabbanon. The kasha is Rabbi Lazar said over ain tumal mashkin kol ikar, and his raya was from Yosi ben Yoyezer ish treda, who said mashkin base mit bechaya dachon, and if mashkin base mit bechaya is dachon, must be tumas mashkin is the rabbanon. See, he holds tumas mashkin is the rabbanon. So we have a stira in Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara says you have to add one wrinkle to the kasha. Honi chalish Shmuel da amar dachon latame tumas acherim bishlam, according to Shmuel, who we're going to see in a moment, who said that when Yosi ben Yoyezer ish treda said mashkin base mit bechaya dachon, he didn't mean that the mashkin base mit bechaya can't become Tame. What he meant was that it doesn't have the ability to be metama. Also, that's very good. You're right. The fact that Mashkin has the ability to be metama, that's only a din de rabbanon. That's what Rabbi Lazar said in the previous price. So l'shita sayu, it makes sense. In the Beis HaMikdash, maybe the Chachamim weren't geyser, and they said over there, won't have the ability to be metama. Aval tumas atzman yeshlem, but of course, he never said that there's no tuma for Mashkin, the Beis Mitbechai in the Beis HaMikdash. So Shapra, it's very good. El l'rav dal medocha mamash, but according to Rav that said, that what does it mean that Mashkin Beis Mitbechai is dachon? It means it's literally dachon. It means it's 100% tar. So ma'yikil ha'meimar. So you see tumas Mashkin's in the Rabbanon, because if tumas Mashkin's in the Raisi, there's no way to differentiate between inside the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, to answer the stir, Amr of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Achato, you have to say that when the Braisa said, V'chein hoyer Rabbi Lazar Omer, wasn't going back on both things that Rabbi Meir said, it's only going back on one of the two things that Rabbi Meir said. Again, what did Rabbi Meir say? First line of the Omer, Safik Mashkin L'tame. If you have a Safik about Mashkin, is it Tame or is it not Tame? The halacha is Tame. L'tamei acherim, if you have a suffix now, whether it's tamei, and you're trying to figure out whether it has the ability to be matama something else, tahar. Suffix mashkin l'tamei tamei, because tumas mashkin's deraisa. L'tamei acherim tahar, because to be matama something else is a derabon. V'chein hoyer Rabbi Lazar Omer kedvar. We assumed, what does it mean, v'chein hoyer Rabbi Lazar Omer kedvar, of both things the Rameir said. Side that tumas mashkin's deraisa, and side that its ability to be matama is a derabonon. What the Gemara is saying now is, Amr of Nachman by Yitzchak HaChado, that v'chein hoyer Rabbi Lazar Omer was only going back on the second thing that Rameir said. It wasn't going back on the first thing Rameir said. When Rameir said that the ability for mashkin to be matama is a Rabbanon, that was v'chein hoyer Rabbi Lazar Omer. But as it relates to the first thing Rabbi Meir said, that tumas mashkin itself is a deraisa, there's no v'chein hoyer Rabbi Lazar Omer gedvar, because Rabbi Lazar holds that tumas mashkin, even its ability to become tameh, is only a derabbanon. That's Rabbi Lazar's halach of ein tumal mashkin kolikar, and that was his raya according to Rav from Yosi ben Yoyezer ish treda, that mashkin base mit mechaya is dachon. Either way, so the Gemara says it's not a kasha. V'ayva ha-kidvar of kama, but the Gemara says pshat doesn't sound that way from the brisa, because the brisa is v'chein hoyer Rabbi Lazar Omer kidvarav. What does kidvarav mean? That's a lashon rabim. It's plural. It sounds like he agreed with both things that Rabbi Meir said. In afishi va'oid v'ha-v'chein k'tani. Also, the word v'chein. V'chein sounds like what Rabbi Meir said, Rabbi Lazar also agrees with. So the Gemara says kasha. Ayer. And what does kasha mean? Kasha means there's a teretz, v'shtarpnish v'na kasha, tyufta would mean checkmate. Game over. But as it relates to kasha, it means there's a teretz, meaning these are diktukim. But at the end of the day, the Gemara still stands by its teretz. And that is that when Rabbi Lazar said in the Braisa, that I agree with what Rameir said, he wasn't referring back to both things that Rameir said. He was only referring back to the second thing that Rameir said. As it relates to the first thing that Rameir said, that Safik Mashkin L'Tame, Tame, on that Rabbi Lazar disagrees, and on that Rabbi Lazar really holds that Tumas Mashkin is not the Eraisa, but Tumas Mashkin is only the Rabbanon. Zokti Gemara Gufa. Rav Amar. So we just mentioned what Yosi Ben Yoyezer Ish Tzreda said. He said two things. One, that's Negeya our sugya. First thing that he said, it's not Negeya our sugya, is that the Ayil Kamsa, a certain type of grasshopper, is kosher. The second thing he said was that all the beverages that were found in the Beis Mitbechaya, meaning in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash, Dachon, they were all tahor. The mashkin had no ability to become tamei. That means if a sheretz, if something would touch this mashkin, the mashkin would be tahor. And the Gemara briefly mentioned the machlekes Rav and Shmuel. What exactly Yoisi ben Yoyezer ish trei dement. Now the Gemara is going to bring the longer version of this machloikis Rav and Shmuel and do a detailed analysis of this machloikis Rav and Shmuel. In fact, this discussion is going to take us through the end of the daf and knee deep into tomorrow's daf. Zok the Gemara gufa. Rav Amar Rav said dochan mamish, that what Yoisi ben Yoyezer ish trei dement meant when he said mashkin beis mitbechay is dochan means it's not mekabel tuma. Beverages in the beis hamikdash have no ability to become tummy. Shmuel Amar Shmuel said no. When it means is it means it doesn't have the ability to be metama something else. But of course, mashkin, even in the base mitbachai, even in the base hamikdash, we're mekabel tumah. Rav medacham mamish. Rav said that the mashkin, the base mitbachai, is going to be tahar because he holds tumas mashkin derabana. That tumas mashkin is only a derabana. This is the cheshbon that we mentioned earlier. V'chi gazru rabbanon the mashkin da'amav. So when the rabbanon made the gzeir of tumas mashkin, they only meant it for mashkin in the veld. But ube mashkin beis mitbachai legaza, but as relates to mashkin that are in the beis hamikdash, for that they never made exist. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says dochan militam et tumas achir. No, dochan doesn't mean that it's not mekabel tuma. It means it doesn't have the ability to be metam. Aval tumas asma yeshlam. But as relates to the mashkin beis mitbachai, of course they're mekabel tuma. Because Shmuel holds tumas mashkin asma deiraisa. Because tumas atzman really is a deiraisa. The tamei achirim the rabbanon. It's mashkin's ability to be metam something else. That's the rabbanon. He goes the rabbanon be mashkin the alma. But when did the rabbanon make the gzera that mashkin should have the ability to be metamis of something else? That's mashkin the alma. That's mashkin outside the base of mikdash. But the mashkin base mitbachai loy gazer. But the mashkin the base of mikdash, that not v'chi loy gazer rabbanon. But the point is, when the rabbanon didn't make the gzera, what weren't they being gazer on? L'tmuyei acherim. And that's the piece that's the Rabbanon, and that's the piece that the Rabbanon carved out and said isn't going to be applicable in the Beis HaMikdash. But Tumas Atzman Yeshlem. But as it relates to Tumas Atzman, that of course they're going to have. So in other words, Yoisi ben Yoyezer ish Tzreda said that Mashkin Beis Mitbechaya Dachon, that the Mashkin in the Beis HaMikdash is Tar. What does it mean Tar? Machloik is Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, Dachon means it's Dachon Mamish. It has no ability to become Tameh. According to Shmuel, what does Dachon mean? Dachon means that it's Tameh, it's just Dachin in that it doesn't have the ability to be Matama. What's at the core of the Machloikis? Tumas Mashkin, the Raisa, or Tumas Mashkin, the Rabbanon. Rav Shita was that Tumas Mashkin is only the Rabbanon. Shmuel Shita is that Tumas Mashkin is the Raisa. But even Shmuel that holds Tumas Mashkin is a Raisa agrees that Mashkin's ability to be Metame is a Rabbanon. Either way, whatever's Midirabbanon maybe was not applied in the Beis HaMikdash. But whatever is Midday Raisa, of course, has to be applied in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Machlek is Rav and Shmuel as it relates to Mashkin, the Beis Mitbechaya, at its core is not a question of Mashkin, Beis Mitbechaya. It's a question of Tumas Mashkin. If Tumas Mashkin's Day Raisa, it has to apply to the Beis HaMikdash. If it's a Durabbanon, it doesn't have to apply. Either way, that's the Shaila. Just to make one point clear before we go weiter, and that is, we mentioned that the Braisa that the Gemara brought on the top of the Yom had mentioned five Shitas HaTanon. Reb Meir, Reb Elazar, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon. And it was a discussion regarding the halachas of Tumas Mashkin. And all five Shitas HaTanam, when you read the Braisa, seem to say that Tumas Mashkin is a Deiraisa. Yet you have a Shitas Rav, all of a sudden that Rav said that Tumas Mashkin is only the Rabbanon. What, so Rav is arguing with all five Tanam? So we know Rav is a Tanu Upalik, but first of all, that's always a B'di'evit. And besides, Rav seems to be taking on all the Tanam. So it sounds like a very big Kiddush, but the Teretz is Pasha, right? Just to bring out the point. Rav is not saying his own Kiddush. Rav is explaining Yoisi ben Yoyezer ish Tzreda. He said that this is what Yoisi ben Yoyezer ish Tzreda said. I'm not arguing with Reb Meir and Reb Elazar and Reb Yehuda and Reb Yoisi and Reb Shimon. I'm just explaining Yoisi ben Yoyezer ish Tzreda. He was a Tana. He was allowed to argue with the Tanam. And I'm telling you, when he said Dachan, he meant Dachan Mamash. And it doesn't stem with all those Tanam. Okay, so it doesn't stem with all those Tanam. But he was explaining, if he would say his own sheet, if this was a Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, Ein Holchem Mamon Acharoyv, Holchem Mamon Acharoyv, Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Yeah, Rav can never say a halacha connected all these five Tanon, but he's not saying his own halachi. He was explaining what Yosef ben Yehazer is trying to say. As a result, there's no problem arguing. Additionally, we saw in the Braisa that the Gemara brought that Rabbi Lazar in the Braisa, who is V'chein Hoy Rabbi Lazar, not so clear that he agreed with the first thing Rabbi Meir said. It could be he holds Tumas Mashkin is also only a Durabana. So in the Cheshbon of the Gemara, the fact that Rav is coming out not like the Tanob is not fair. Number one, he's basing his halacha on a Tana, Yoisi ben Yoyezer ish Tzreda. Additionally, Rabbi Lazar Shita seems to be a little unclear, and as a result, he could always rely on Shita's Rabbi Lazar. Either way, Zok Tigmar, Abadi, Rav Huna Bar Chinan, Lil Brez, Rav Huna Bar Chinan told the son, Ki Ailus, Kameh, the Rav Papa, when you come to Rav Papa, Ramile, ask him the following question. Mi, Amash Shmuel, Dachem, Latame, Tumas Acherim, Aval Tumas Atzme, Yesh Behem. Is it true, Shmuel said that Mashkin, Midda Iraisa, is Tameh, Midda Rabbanon, it is, but however, is not metame. And from that standpoint, Shmuel holds the mashkin, the base mitbechaya, is going to be tame, but is not going to be metame at all. Again, all mashkin is tame midei raisa, is not metame midei raisa. It's metame midrabon. Mashkin base mitbechaya is going to be tame midei raisa, and it's not going to be metame even midrabon, but certainly not midei raisa. But it comes out that Mashkin, the base mitbechai, which was kachin, it was tame, but at the same time it wasn't mitama. So what's the kasha? Kari kan, we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, v'habasar asheyiga bechol tame lo yiyachel be'ish yisarif. That if basar touches tame, any basar kachin, that's what the pasuk's talking about, comes in contact with tame, the halacha is that lo yiyachel, you're not allowed to eat it. So you see from here that there's a halacha that any time kachim touches kachim, it automatically becomes tameh. It's a pasuk. V'habasar asher yiga b'chol tameh lo yiyachel be'ish yisarif. What's the kasha? Mashkin the base mitbechaya. Mashkin the base mitbechaya, you're telling me now it's tameh midei raisa, but it doesn't have the ability to be metameh midei raisa. It doesn't even have the ability to be metameh midei rabbanon. But it doesn't have the ability to be metameh midei raisa. How could that be? How could you have a situation where something is tameh and is not metameh in the kachim context? There's a pasuk that seems to say not that way. V'habasar asher yiga b'chol tameh lo yiyachel be'ish yisarif. So you see this halacha that anything that comes in contact with Tumah in the kachin setting automatically becomes tameh. Mashkin toichiach. You see, mashkin's not that way. I'm Rav Sheish Beit Ravidi. So Rav Sheish Beit Ravidi said, "Midah dehavi aravvi b'kaidish." That's not true. You're reading this pasuk way too broadly, because it's not true. The pasuk is saying that any single time something comes in contact with tameh, it's automatically tameh. You know what the ray is? A ravvi b'tumah. Because we know that if something touches a ravvi b'tumah, the halach is, doesn't become a chamishi. No such thing as a chamishi. Kachim could be a revi. So if you would have basar kachim that would touch basar kachim, that's a revi. What would be? It would be tar. Either pasuk says v'basar sheyiga b'chol tamei lo yochav be'eshi sarif. You see, it's not always the case. So if it's not true by a revi l'tumah, doesn't have to be true as it relates to mashkinit. Maskul Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi asked the kachim. Maybe there's a difference. Revi b'koydish lo ikri tamei. Revi b'koydish is not called tamei, but hi ikri tamei. This is called tamei. So what's the kasha? Revi b'tumah is not called tameh? Of course it's called tameh. Revi b'tumah is tameh. So Rashi says what the Gemara means to say is that it's not mefurish anywhere in the Torah that there's something called a revi b'tumah. The whole mekar to a revi b'tumah, it's a din d'oraisa, but it's learned out from a kal v'chomer. It's learned out from one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSfam. But the Torah never referred to it as tameh. So being that the Torah never referred to it as tameh, it could be that's why it's not included in this halacha. V'habasa asheyiga b'chol tameh lo yeyacha b'eish yisarif. Because being that the Torah never referred to a revi b'tumah as being tameh, so maybe it's not included in this pasuk. Even though we know revi b'tumah is tameh, but the Torah never referred to it mefurish. It's only through a kal v'chomer. Right? A hekesh is as if it's mefurish in the Torah. When you learn something from Gzeirah Shavah, it's as if it's mefurish in the Torah. But when you learn something from a kal v'chomer, it's not mefurish in the Torah. As a result, the Torah never called it tameh, so maybe it's not included in this pasuk. Therefore, the fact that a revi b'tumah can't be metama is not a contradiction to what the pasuk means when it says v'abasu asher yiga b'chol tameh lo yiyachel be'eish yisarif. But mashkin, that's a rishon, a sheni, where the Torah did refer to it as tameh, to say that it's not metama, it has the ability to be a tameh, not to be metama, that already is something that seems to contradict this pasuk. But the Gemara says kasha, Ravashi, ha'ara. I hear your ha'ara, but at the end of the day, again, We can go weiter because it's not such a kasha. Meaning, the fact that the pasuk says v'abasu asheyiga b'chol tameh lo yiyachel, which seems to imply that any time kachim touches something tameh, it automatically becomes tameh. And the fact that Shmuel said that mashkin is clearly not that way, because mashkin is tameh, but if something touches mashkin, it doesn't become tameh, isn't necessarily a kasha, because revi b'koydesh teichiach, ay, there's a distinction. The Gemara said kasha, toshma. So again, we're going back now to the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel as to how to understand what Yosi ben Yoyezer ish tzreda meant when he said mashkin beis bit b'chaya dochan. That all the mashkin, all the beverages, all the liquids that were found in the beis hamikdash are going to be tameh. Rav said tar mamish. It is no tumah. Why? Because Thomas Mashkin's a Durabanon and the Chama weren't guys of Thomas Mashkin at the base of Mikdash. Shmuel said, of course they're Tameh. What it means is they don't have the ability to be Metameh. Because Shmuel holds that Thomas Mashkin is really the Eraisa. Its ability to be Metameh is a Durabanon. And as a result, it's that piece that the Chachamu were never Geyser. Says the Gemara, I have a Kasha from a Mefurisha Pasik. What's this pasuk? It says the broader context is v'chol kli cheres asheyipol mehem el toichai. If you have a kli cheres and a sheretz fell into the kli cheretz, the halach is koil asher betoicha yitma va'oisayis eshbayro. All the contents of this kli cheretz becomes tameh, and the kli cheretz itself you have to destroy. Right? A kli cheretz is unique in a few ways, and all mentioned in this pasuk. Number one, a kli cheretz becomes tameh when tumah comes into the perimeter of the kli cheretz. Number two, you can't be toivel a kli cheretz. Therefore, once it's tameh, oisayis eshbayro, you can't just put it in the mikveh, you actually have to break it. Pasuk continues and says, so what contents of the kli cheres would be tameh in the event that a sheretz fell into it. Mikol ha'oichel asher yeyachel. Any food, asher yava yolav mayim yitma. Any food that first had water go on it. This is mesachtes machshirim. This is the halacha that the only time oichel can become tameh, if it's first mukhshol lekabel tumah, how does it become mukhshol lekabel tumah? If it first became wet. And then the pasuk says, v'chol mashke, asher yishase, v'chol kli yitma, any mashke that people drink that's going to be inside this kli is also going to be tameh. What does it sound like the pasuk is saying? The end of the pasuk, v'chol mashke, asher yishase, v'chol kli yitma. The context is, you have a kli cheres, a sheretz fell into the kli cheres, the halach is, koy lasher besoicha yitma, anything that's inside the kli cheres is going to be tomei. And then the pasuk explains, v'chol oicha lasher yocha, whether it's food, that was v'chol lekabel tomei, or v'chol mashke, asher yishase, or if it was a mashke, the halach is, it's going to be tomei. So what do you see from here? Tomas mashkin. So it's a mefurish pasuk. It's a mefurish pasuk. You see clearly, Tumas Mashkin. This is a kash on Rav. Rav said there's no Tumas Mashkin in the Raisa. That's why Mashkin the Beis Mechayos Dochan Mamish. What do you mean? It's a mefurish pasuk. It's a pasuk in Parashat Shmini. So the Gemara says, "My Yitma." You know what the pasuk means when it says Yitma Hichsher. What it means is the pasuk's not saying that the Mashkin that is inside the Kli Cheres at the same time the sheretz fell in is now going to be tummy. Because mashkin doesn't become tummy midday rice or avols. So what does that pasuk mean? It means that mashka has the ability to be machsher food lekabel tumah. That's what the pasuk means. Only oichel would be tummy if it was inside the kli cheres when the sheretz fell in. So when the pasuk said the chom mashka sheishas, it didn't mean the mashka is going to be tummy. But it's referring to the halacha of machshirin, the halacha that the only time food becomes tameh is if it first was mukhshol lekabel tumah. How you mukhshol lekabel tumah? V'chol mashke asher yishase. If any mashke that people drink falls on top of it, then it's going to be tameh. But the Gemara says, hichsher meiresha the krash ametle. Mikola oichel asher yiyachel v'goymer. And the punchline is the goymer. It's a few words earlier. Again, what did the pasuk say? Mikola oichel asher yiyachel. Asher yavoy olav mayim yitma. And then v'chol mashke asher yishase v'chol kli yitma. Asher yavoy all of Mayim is telling me the halacha that the only time the oichel is going to be tameh is if first it became wet. So what's the next words? V'chol mashke asher yishase. Sounds like the Torah is telling me the halacha of machshirin twice. Why would the Torah have to tell it to me twice? So the Gemara says, yeah, the Torah is really telling it to me twice. Chad betlushin v'chal mechubar. Wants to tell me that mashka that's talush, that's detached from its source, has the ability to be machshir food lekabel tumah, and wants to tell me that mashkin that's attached to its source has the ability to be machshir lekabel tumah. So what does it mean, mashkin that's detached? So for example, you have water in a cup. It's talush from its source. What would attach mean? It's inside a pit, even though the pit is not necessarily the natural source of the water. It could be rainwater that fell into a pit, but that's enough in terms of what mechubar means. And the pasuk had to tell me that whether the mashke is talush or the what mashke is mechubar, either way it has the ability to be machshir lekabel tumah. Why do I need both of them? What's the svar of its richi? Because the yashmina betlushin had only said tulushin, I would have thought mishum da'achshavinu, when you take mashke and you put it into a cup, so okay, you give it a chashivos, you're showing that you like this water. So maybe when you're machshiv the mashkin, then it has the ability to be machshir lekabel tumah. Ava mechubarim. But if you never did anything to this mashke to show it chashivos emolot. Vitan mechubarim had I only know mechubarim mishun dekayme v'tochtayu chashivi. Maybe when it's in its natural habitat, in its natural source, maybe over there it has a chashivos avoklushin. But once it's detached from its source emolot, it's richi. So the Gemara says as far this way and as far that way. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, even though the pasuk seems to be saying tumas mashkin, right? We discussing tumas mashkin. It seems to be a mefurish pasuk. The context is klicheres. A sheretz fell into it, kol asher besoicha yitma, and then the pasuk describes what kol asher besoicha means. Mikol oichel asher yiyachel, v'chol mashke asher yishasis. It sounds mashkin has the ability to be mekabel tumah. And that's certainly the way Shmuel learned this pasuk. And that's how Shmuel knew that tumas mashkin is a deraisa. What did Rav do with the pasuk? Rav held that pasuk, v'chol mashke asher yishasis, wasn't coming to teach me the halacha of tumas mashkin deraisa, because the truth is tumas mashkin is not deraisa. What it's coming to tell me is the halacha that even oichel that's inside the kli cheres would only be tamei if it was first v'chol mashke asher yishasa. If mashke landed on it, I didn't. The pasuk already say that. Mikolo Eichel Asher Yochel Asher Yovel of Mayim, and then again V'chol Mashke Asher Yishasa. Tzim Tzveitamo. Why do I need it twice? The Teretz is there's a special Chiddush Mashkin that's Tlushin and Mashkin that's Michubar. Zok the Gemara Toshma. This seems to be another pasuk in the Torah. This is also in Parsha Shmini. In fact, it's two pesukim later. So the first pesukim were Vayikra Perik Yud Aleph. Psukim lamed gimel lamed dalet. This is vayikra yiral of pasuk lamed vav. It says ach mayan ubar mikva mayim yit tahar v'negeh ben avlasam yitma. A mayan and a bar are and a mikva are tahar. So what does it sound like? It sounds like from here that only these are tahar. Meaning these mashkin, the mashkin that's inside the mayan, that's inside the bar, that's inside the mikva mayim, are not mekabel tumah, but other mashkin are mekabel tumah. So you see, mashkin's mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, no, my yitar mitumasai. No, that's not what the pasuk means. Pasuk's not saying that those mashkins are tahar, meaning they're not mekabel tumah, as opposed to other mashkin that is mekabel tumah. Pasuk means something completely different, that if somebody is tameh, and he now is toivel in the mayan, in the bar, in the mikva mayim, yitar, the person will be tahar. We're not discussing the tumah tahira status of the mayim. We're discussing the tumah status of the person. That if a person will go be toivel inside of this, he's going to be tar. So one thing that just came out, derech agav, is that mashkin is machshir oichel lekabel tumah, and it's machshir oichel lekabel tumah whether the mashkin is tolush or whether the mashkin is mechuber. What does tolush mean? It's in a cup. What does mechuber mean? It's inside the pit. Just as an example. Says the Gemara, V'tushim imachshirim. Is that true? Mashkin that's tolush, does it have the ability to be machshav am? Rabbi Yisrael Rebbe Chanina said, mashkin beis mit bechayo, as it relates to the mashkin of the beis hamikdash. Lo dayon shehin docha. Not only are they tahar, whatever tahar means, machlokes Rav and Shmuel, ela she'ein machshirim. They don't even have the ability to be machshel lekabel tumah. Not only are they tahar, but they don't have the ability to be machshel lekabel tumah. Now, what's the kasha? How could Chazal say mashkin beis mit bechaya doesn't have the ability to be mekabel tumah? Again, to be clear, this is not on a deraisa level. This is for sure on the rabbanon. There's no pasuk that says this. This is all mit rabbanon. So he's saying that the rabbanon weren't geyser that mashkin the beis mit bechaya should be machshel lekabel tumah. Here's the kasha. Bishloimo, if mashkin beis mit bechaya would not have the ability in a non-beis hamikdash context to be machshel lekabel tumah midoy raisa. It's only midoy rabbanon. So rabbanon have a right to say that in beis hamikdash that gzera won't be in effect. But if you're going to tell me that it has the ability to be machshel in a non-beis hamikdash context midoy raisa, then how could the rabbanon say in the beis hamikdash it's not going to be machshel? Elamai. If you're telling me mashkin beis mit bechayo loy dayon shein dochen elo shein machshirim, that means it doesn't have the ability to be machshel midoy raisa. Why wouldn't it have the ability to be machshel midoy raisa? What could possibly be wrong? Mashkin are always machshel lekabel tumah. So why would the mashkin in the beis mit bechaya not have the ability? The teretz must be because it's tolush. Because the mashkin in the beis mit bechaya wasn't in the bar anymore. It's in the klishares. It's in wherever it was. But it's not inside its natural source. It's tolush. Oh, must be because when it's tolush, it's not machshel lekabel tumah. So how could you tell me that it doesn't matter if it's tolush, if it's mechub, it's always machshel lekabel tumah from mashkin beis mit bechaya? You see, not that way. You see, it's not machshel because if it was machshel on a deraisa level, the rabbanon would have no ability to say that in the beis hamikdash it shouldn't be machshel. So Gemara says no. Tirgam al tam. It could be that halacha mashkin beis mit bechaya that's not machshel isn't referring to all mashkin. If it's water, for example, it would be machshel. What it's referring to specifically is blood. The blood in the Beis HaMikdash is different. And this is learned from a pasuk. How do you know that dam kachim is not machshel? Shenema al ba'aretz tishbechenu kamayim. The context over there is dam. The pasuk says loy teichlenu, referring to dam, blood, al ba'aretz tishbechenu kamayim. And we learn from there, dam shenishbach kamayim machshel, dam that's poured like water, meaning dam that's chulin, that you can just pour it down the drain, like you would water, has the ability to be machshir. Dam she'ein nishbach kamayim erein machshir. But dam that is kachim, that you can't simply just pour away, that is not going to be machshir. Freit the Gemara, is that true? Maskel for Rav Shumbar Rav Ami, hari dam atamsis, the nishbach kamayim, the dam atamsis. So what's the dam atamsis? This is of Mesechtes Zvachim fame, Zvachim daf chavhei. The halacha is that after a carbon was shechted, so there was a kohen that was standing with a klisharis, he had to do a kabbalah, take the dam, walk into the mizbeach, and then do a zrika. But not all dam of a carbon was roy to do the zrika with. It had to be the dam ha-nefesh. as opposed to the dam atamtzes. So the dam hanefesh is the dam that squirts out at the time that you do the shechita. The dam atamtzes is the dam that comes out right before and the dam that comes out right after. But whatever the technicality of the dam atamtzes is, this is dam of a carbon that is not royal azrika. Okay. And still the halacha is that it's not machsher lekabel tumah. What's the kasha? The kasha is this dam atamtzes is nishpach kamayim. And still you see that dam atamtzes doesn't have the ability to be machsher. It sounds like there's something going on over here. That it's not stamadim and kachim that says that it's not machsher. It sounds like because it's tolish, it's not machsher. Amalei Reb Zeira, hanachla dam atamtzes. Don't ask me kashas when dam atamtzes, da filo b'chulin nami loy machsher. No, because dam atamtzes, even by chulin, is not machsher. It's nothing to do with kachim, you're right. It's nothing to do with the fact that it's kachim and it's not nishbach kamayim. But dam atamtzes is not considered a mashka. Why? Kibli minei Rav Shmuel bar Ami. Rav Shmuel bar Ami was mekabel for Reb Zeira. The reason is the Amar Rachman of the pasuk says, "Rak chazak lebilti achol hadam ki adam hu anefesh." Right. This is one of the pesukim that say a person is not allowed to eat dam. Why can't you eat dam or drink dam? Because dam is the nefesh, and we learn from there, dam shan nefesh yoytze by kore dam. The dam that causes the nefesh, the soul of the animal, to depart. The dam that's associated with the soul is considered dam. Dam she'ina nefesh yoytze by any kore dam, as opposed to the dam that's not associated with the nefesh, such as the dam atamtzes, that's not going to be considered dam. So just to, again, regroup for a second. So b'derech agav, we got into a discussion about mashkin that's machsher oichel lekabel tumah, and machsher that's not machsher oichel lekabel tumah. And we said that mashkin is machsher, and it doesn't matter if it's tolush, it doesn't matter if it's mechuber, it always has the ability to be machsher. The Gemara asked the kasha, again, this is a digression from the digression from the digression. It's a very, very side agav point in the sugya. But the Gemara says, is that true? Mashkin, that's tolish, has the ability to be machshir. We know that the mashkin based mitbechaya, not only was it dachon, but it didn't even have the ability to be machshir. Now, if you're going to tell me that mashkin that's tolish can be machshir, so then why should the mashkin based mitbechaya be different? Oh, but if you tell me mashkin that's tolish can't be machshir, that means the mashkin based mitbechaya anyways wouldn't have the ability to be machshir midairais. It's only midrabbana, midrabbana. They weren't geyser. That it should be machshir. But the Gemara says, no. The reason mashkin based mitbechaya is not machshir has nothing to do with Tolish being Masha. Tolish could be Masha. And the truth is, most Masha in the basement could be Masha as well. That halach is talking specifically about Dam. It's a Gzeris HaKosav. It's actually learned that from a pasuk. It's a completely unrelated halach. It's again. So we return to the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Yoisi ben Yoyezer Ish Tzreda said, Mashkin Beis Mitmechaya is Dachin. That all the Mashkin, all the beverages of the Beis HaMikdash were Tahar. What does Tahar mean? Rav said Tahar Mamish. No ability, can't become Tahar. Shmuel said, it's of course it's Mekabel Tumah. Tahar just means it doesn't have the ability to be Metamis. Like the Gemara Toshma, I'll bring you a Raya, and this Raya is going to be a Raya to Shmuel and a Kashan Rav. In the event that the dam of a carbon became Tameh. So the halacha is, if the dam of a carbon becomes Tameh, you're not allowed to do a Zrika. So again, just the chazer over. When you bring a carbon, there were four critical avoidos to the kashrus of the carbon. Animal was brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Kohen had to do a shechita, shech the animal. Kabbalah, they had to have a kli shares and be mekabel the dam. Hilacha, walk the blood to the mizbeach, and then do a zrika. Now there were more avodas that were done after the zrika. First of all, with the dam itself, they would do shvicha shirayim. They would take the remainder of the blood that didn't go on the mizbeach and they would pour it down one of the esoidos on the mizbeach. They would take the emurim, all the fats, and they would burn it. The kehanim would eat some of the basa. Kehanim moichlim, ubaylam escharpen. That was all part of the kapar. But that was all shiurei mitzvah. That's extra credit. That's lefnim mishur sadeh. But in terms of what was ma'ake for the kapara? Someone has to bring a karmel chatkos because he was mechal shnabes b'shoigig. You need to make sure the shechita kabbalah ilachas. As long as those four avodas were going to be done, that was going to be okay. Fine. One of the most critical avodah, of course, was the zrika. That's the culmination of the avodah sadam. You can't do zrika if the dam is tameh. It's a psul and a carbon. In the world of psulei hamakdashim, if the dam is tameh, it's a problem. Stating that, there's an incredible chiddush that underpins seder kachim. And that is, there were certain psulim in a carbon, that even though it was possible, you weren't allowed to do it. But if you did it by mistake, you did it unintentionally, the carbon worked. Whatever issue there was, somehow we look away from. How did that work? It worked with the special power of the tzitz. The tzitz was one of the Shemayna Begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore. And when the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz had an ability to be meratza, it had an ability to be mechaper, and it had the ability to somehow make certain problems with carbonoids go away. It's the mystical power of the tzitz. So the brice over here, and really the next three brices that the Gemara is going to bring until the end of the daf, is going to be discussing the tzitz. Dam shenitmo, if you have dam of a carbon, it became tamoi, vizorkoi, and the coin did his riko, that's a bad thing. Can't do his riko with dam, that's tamoi. But v'shoikik, he only did it by mistake, hurtza. The halach is, it's okay, no worries. Why? The tzitz. B'mezid, however, if he did it b'mezid, loy hurtza, it's not going to be okay. What's the kasha? Dam, that's tamoi. I thought there's no such thing as dam tamoi. I thought mashkin base mitbechai is dachan. So I thought there's no problem over here. So isn't this a mefurish abraisa that mashkin base mitbechai really is tame? It's just that it doesn't have the ability to be matamas. It's a eraya tashmul. It's a kasha and rab. So the Gemara says midirabanan. No, this braisa, oh, maybe it's only midirabanan. Maybe we're not discussing tomana de raisa level. Maybe we only mean tomana de rabanan level. Okay, but I thought Yosi ben Yoyezer is straight that said mashkin base mitbechai dachan means even midirabanan. Okay, the like Rabbi Yosef ben Yezer is straight. That's true. It comes out now like Yosef ben Yezer is straight. But you have no raya from this brisa that Thomas Mashkin is the raisa, because it could be this whole shmuz in this brisa was only midrabanan. Tashma, similar brisa. Matz, it's miratza. What was it? It's miratza. Al adam, val abasar, val achelav. Those are the fats that went on the mizbeach shenitma that became tamei. Bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezid, bein b'oynes, bein b'ratzin, bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibur. But again, you see, the tzitz was miratza for dam that was tamei. I thought dam can't be tamei. I thought Thomas Mashkin is only the rabbanan. Mar says you're right. Midrabanan. This we don't mean under the Raisa Toma. We mean the Rabbanon. I'm mashkin base mit bechayo, even mit the Rabbanon is tahar. Like Yosef ben Yezer is straight. That's true. This is like Yosef ben Yezer is straight. Toshma. One final Raisa. Benasa aharon es avoyin hakotchen. The pasuk says that aharon, by wearing the tzitz, he's going to carry the chet, the avera of kotchen. Chieza avoyin hu noisei, freak the Gemara. Which avera is he carrying? Im avoyin pigol, doesn't mean pigol, meaning is the tzitz Miratza on pigles, if a coin did it, an havoido, and he had a machsheves pigle, do we say that the tzitz is miratza and makes the psul go away? Can't be. Because harekfar nemar lo yeiratza. And from the pasuk it says clear that as it relates to pigle, lo yeiratza. You're not getting kapar. Im avoy noisar doesn't mean avoy noisar. By the way, Rashi says pigle means when the coin had a machsheva to do the avoido chutzlim koimoy. Noisar over here means also pigle, where the Kayan had a machshava to do with chutzla's manu. But either way, harei kfar nemar, there too it says lo yechashev. So we know for sure that this doesn't work. What it works for is the avera of tuma. Now, why would tuma be more lenient than pigol and noiser? Why is the tzitz only miratz on tuma? Shehutra mechlala betzibur, because you find another kula as it relates to tuma when it comes to avoda, and that is that if roiv of the tzibur, roiv of klai Yisrael is tame, so then the halacha is that you're allowed to do the avoda. There's no such halacha when it comes to noiser. There's no such halacha when it comes to pigol. But what's the bottom line? You see from here that there's a concept. We're learning this out from a pasuk. See, here's the problem. We're learning out from a pasuk that the tzitz is meratza. So if the tzitz is meratza from a pasuk, and what's a meratza for? When the dam is tamei, so what do you see from here? The dam is tamei midei raisa, not midei rabbanon. The previous price is, okay, the tzitz was meratza for a derabbanon issue. It's not a kashon rab. But here it's a midei raisa. You see mefurish. My love, Thomas Dam. We're talking about dam. So Amar Rapapa. Maybe we're not talking about dam, we're talking about kindness. So what does the Gemara mean? Last knitch. When the Gemara said, my love, Thomas dam, why? Who said Thomas dam? Maybe it means Thomas basar, maybe it means Thomas emurim, maybe it means chelev. These things for sure become tame, right? The question is, if mashke becomes tame, maybe it's referring to basar. The reason is because there's no way you would need the tzitz to be meratza for basar that became tame, if emurim became tame. The reason is because basar is extra credit anyways. Emurim is anyways. We don't need the tzitz to be miratza of something you don't need to do. We need the tzitz to be miratza of something you need to do. So what part of the carbon do you need? You need the dam. So presumably, if the tzitz is being miratza, it's being miratza for the dam. So the kash is that Thomas dam is a mashke. And if Thomas mashke is durabanan, so why do we need a pasuk to tell me that the tzitz is miratza? The teretz is, really, the pasuk is coming to tell me, not dam, oichel, but oichel that's ma'akev. Where do you have an oichel that is ma'akev kapara? By a mincha. Mincha doesn't have any dam. So the equivalent thereof of the dam when it comes to a mincha is the flour. It's the koimitz that went on the mizbeach. That is the equivalent throughout Mesechta Zvachim and Menachas. Is a parallel between the avoida of the dam and the avoida of the koimitz, because the koimitz was to the mincha what the dam was to the carbon. It's critical, it's vital. Without it, you can't get kapara. But at the same time, it's unique in that it's an oichel, it's a food. Also, being that it's a food, at the end of the day, we treat it as a food. So we treat it as a food, so it's certainly it's mekabel tumah. That's why I need the pasuk of Enasa Aharon Es Avoyin HaKashem. So the bottom line is, the topic of today's daf was Tumas Mashkin. And it really began with the end of yesterday's daf, which was a braisa, where we had five shitas atanam, Rav Meir, Rav Elazar, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosi, and Rav Shimon, where everyone seemed to hold that Tumas Mashkin is deraisa. The question is, Mashkin's ability to be metama, is that also a deraisa, or is that not a deraisa? Stating that, in today's daf, we saw that it's not so pashtun. And in fact, there are shitas that hold that Tumas Mashkin itself is only a derabanan, and you know whose shita that is? It's none other than shitas Rav. Rav, he didn't say this on his own. He was interpreting what Yosi ben Yoyezer Ish Tzreda said. He said that Mashkin Beis Mitbechaya is Dachan, that the Mashkin that was found in the Beis HaMikdash had no ability to become a Tomei. And if the Mashkin that was in the Beis HaMikdash had no ability to become Tomei, must be Tumas Mashkin's the Rabbana, because Tumas Mashkin's the Raisa. What could possibly be the difference between Mashkin and the Beis HaMikdash, Mashkin outside the Beis HaMikdash? If there was a Pasek, Memel, but there is no Pasek. This was the Eidos of Yosi ben Yoyezer Ish Tzreda. He was just testifying about how the rabbis treated the Mashkin, but must be Tumas Mashkin's the Rabbanon, because of Tumas Mashkin's deraisa. Shmuel argued either way. Tashma. We're stopping in the middle because the Gemara is going to continue into tomorrow's daf. Now, incidentally, we're not going to talk about this today, but hopefully tomorrow. And that is, this has a tremendous Hanukkah connection, today's daf. Because if Mashkin based mit bechaya is not mekabel tuma, then what was the problem with Hanukkah? They were trying to find shemen that was tahar. All the shemen was tame. Shemen is a mashka. And the Shemen was in the base mit Bechaya. So if there's a shittas Rav that holds that Mashkin base mit Bechaya is not Tomei, it's not Tomei, not even mit Rabbanan. So if that's the case, what happened? We have to rethink the whole Hanukkah story. But that's for another day. We have 8 days to think about that. So we have time for that. But for now, just to go back to yesterday's daf, and that is, who was Rav Chanina Skana Koyanim? Talk about going backwards. So who was Rav Chanina Skana Koyanim? So yesterday we mentioned the obvious, and that is Rav Chanina Skana Koyanim was a Koyin. He was a Tana. He lived in Bayesheni. He was also the Skan Koyin Gadol, as if the backup Koyin Gadol, the vice president. But he wasn't only the Skan to one Koyin, but Kishmoy Kachi. He was Skan HaKoyanim. And we mentioned the beautiful Machshava from Rabbi Vadu Yosef, who said that Rabbi Chanina Skana Koyanim is the one that said in Pirkei Yovis, have a mispalo b'shloimish al malchus, shol mole meira ish esreyeu chayim balo, that Rabbi Chanina Skana Koyanim was sensitive to shloimish al malchus, even though he was a victim of shloimish al malchus. He said, because otherwise, why did Rabbi Chanina Skana Koyanim never, why was he never promoted to Kohen Gadol? He said, probably because he didn't pay anybody off, because that's the way he became Kohen Gadol during Bayesheni. And even though he himself, his career was incredibly impacted, he lost so much because of Shlomo Shel Malchus. But at the same time, it wasn't about him. He understood that the greater good is that there be a Shlomo Shel Malchus. And that's why Rav Chanina Skana Koyanim, who remained the Skan Kohen Gadol his whole life, he still said, have a mispalo b'Shlomo Shel Malchus. But we also mentioned at the very, very end of yesterday's daf that Rav Chanina Skana Koyanim is mentioned in an obscure halach in Shulchan Aruch. This is an Aruch Chaim Simon Tov Kuf Pei. It's in Hilchas Tainis. The name of the Simon is Yomim Shem Misanim Behem. Days that there were certain tzaddikim and chassidim and anshei maisa that they used to fast. And in Sivkot and Beis, in Simon Tov Kuf Pei, the Shulchan Aruch goes through a whole list, literally goes through the Hebrew calendar, and it goes through day after day, different days that tzaddikim used to fast. And one of the days that it mentions is Chof Hei Sivan. What happened on Chof Hei Sivan? I quote, Boi Nerag Rab Shimon Ben Gamliel, for Rabbi Yishmael, for Rabbi Chanina Skana Koyanim. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the Mechab is referring to, is not Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's mentioned throughout Shas. That was Rebbe's father. It's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Hazokin. It's Rav Shimon Gamliel, who was the Nasi at the time of this destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yishmael is referring to the Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha of Tanya fame. That's Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha is. They were both killed on Chav Hei Sivan. But not only were Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol killed on Chof Hei Sivan, but Rabbi Chanina Skana Koyanim was also killed on Chof Hei Sivan. So what's the rest of the story? We're all familiar with the Hasara Harugei Malchus. These were the 10 martyrs, the 10 Tannoim, that were all killed al Kiddush Hashem. The truth is, we're familiar with the Hasara Harugei Malchus because we mention it in Davening twice. It's mentioned in Musaf and Yom Kippur as part of the Avoid on Yom Kippur in the Piyut Eila Eskara, V'nafshi Olai Eshbecha, Tiyah Rabbi Shmuel Atzmai. Right? We tell the story of the 10 martyrs of the Asar Rugei Malchus. We also say it on Yom Kippur in the Piyut of Arzei Alvonoin, where again we mention the Asar Rugei Malchus. The Nusach of Eila Eskara and the Nusach of Arzei Alvonoin are not the same. But Atzad HaShavash HaBehen is that we're telling the story of the Asar Rugei Malchus. The Makar to the Piyot Eila Eskara is a Medrash, an obscure Medrash. The name of the Medrash is called Medrash Eila Eskra. It's not long. It's not short enough that we can go through it in the daf, Ayin Sham, but it's not terribly long. And really, it's the longer version of the piyut of Eila Eskera that's mentioned in the piyut of Yom Kippur. And of course, the short version of it is that there was a Kesar of Roimi who one day decided, the Medrash says that Hashem planted this idea into the mind of the Kesar of Roimi, that the Yidden have to pay for the fact that many generations ago, the Shvatim sold Yosef, which is, of course, this week's parasha. And they have to pay for the fact that the Shvatim sold Yosef. Why? Because it says in the Torah, v'goyin efesh u'mechayroi, that if somebody kidnaps somebody and then he sells him, so what's the halacha ma'isyumas? He's chayiv misa. So this case of Rami decided that the time has come. So he summons who he felt were the 10 biggest chachamim in the generation, and he brought them to his palace, and he set them down, and he said, I want to ask you a question. If somebody steals somebody, he sells them. What's the halacha? So he says, he's chayiv misa. He says, if that's the case, how come no one ever paid for the fact that the brothers sold Yosef? Either way, he made this gzeira, and he told them, I give you, 3 days, and in 3 days, you're going to have to come back to me, and we're going to have to figure this out, because I think you 10 people are going to have to now die and really bear the sin of the Aseres HaShvatim who killed Yosef. And of course, the Medrash goes on to say that Rabbi Shmuel was the Kohen Gadol, and Tir Rabbi Shmuel Atzmoy, Va'olah B'Silud, and he used the Shem HaMefarish. He goes up to Shemayim, and he meets the Malach Gavriel, and he asks the Malach Gavriel, what's going on? Is this real? He says, it's real. This is a Gzeira. And he says, you have no choice, but this is something that you're going to have to do. So they came back, and they were Makabal the Gzeira, and the Medrash goes on, and it's hard to read. It's so painful, and it tells the story about how the Roman Kesar went, and he killed the Asara Rugei Malchus. And then it goes on to mention the names of the Asara Rugei Malchus. So who are they? It was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who was the Nasi at the time. It was Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Rabbi Yesheva Vasoifer, Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinoi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Chutzpes HaMeturgeman, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. And if you go through the Eila Esker that we say in the Piyut, the Yoitzers, on Yom Kippur, you'll see those are the 10 names. Those are the 10 Tanoim. Those are the 10 Tanoim that were killed. If you go through the Arzei HaLevanoim, that's the Piyut that we say on Tisha B'Av, it's the same names. So these were the Asara Rugei Malchus, and they were killed, says the Medrash, to be Mechaper for the Chet of Mechiris Yosef. Now the truth is, this is above my pay grade, but it's Yodua that the Kadmoinim already said that even though this is a Medrash, the Medrash of Eila Eskera, but it's impossible that the Medrash happened, the story happened exactly the way it's presented. In fact, if you have the art scroll Machzer on Yom Kippur, so the art scroll Machzer on the bottom, right in the first note on Eila Eskera, makes this point very clear. And that is that it should be noted, however, that while all 10 of these righteous men were murdered by the Romans, their executions did not take place simultaneously, as described here. Nor could they have, since 2 of the 10 did not even live in the same generation as the other 8, namely the martyred Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel the Kohen Gadol, who lived before the destruction of the Second Temple, and were murdered shortly thereafter, while Rabbi Akiva was a relatively young man at the time of the destruction, and he was killed after the Bar Kochba revolt, over 60 years later. The liturgical accounts of the martyrdom were not meant as historical records, but as dramatic accounts of the story in order to evoke the feelings of loss and repentance on the part of the congregation. So this is a Meferish art scroll that says that this couldn't have happened exactly the way it's presented, simply because the facts don't add up. And it seems to be some poetic license, some drama that the Python used, it's a Medrash, but that the Python used just to bring out the point. But the fact that there were Asara Rugei Malchus, that's undisputable. That's something that we know. Incidentally, even though the Gemara nowhere mentions the Asara Rugei Malchus, right? It's not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara, but there are references to some of the Asara Rugei Malchus being brutally murdered by the Romans. Most famous one is Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara with Pappas ben Yehuda, the the Gemara Masechtes Brachos, Daf Samech Aleph. You have Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches, where the Gemara tells the story about Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan. You have Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara says there was a pagan holiday that every 70 years the pagans would take out the head of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. He was very handsome. So it was preserved for generations, and they had some whole yontif that they would do using his head. Rav Chutzpes HaMeturgeman, that's the Hadron, that's the last Gemara Masechtes Chulin, where the Gemara says, one man d'Amma said that Elisha Baravua, Rachmana Litzlan, went away from the Yiddish of Eig. Why? Because he saw the tongue of Rav Chutzpah ben Amatorgeman, and he said, that tongue that was Mapik Margolis, this is what became of it. He couldn't be soivel it. He couldn't understand how something like this, how bad things can happen to good people. He couldn't come to terms with that. And as a result, this was something that literally caused the great Elisha Baravua to leave his Yiddishkeit. So again, there are references to some of that Sara Ruge Malchus, but again, it's never mentioned anywhere before us in the Gemara. The Makar is this Medrash called Eila Eskara, which people have already said clearly couldn't have happened exactly the way it's presented. Regardless, a very important part of our tradition. It's something that we mention on Yom Kippur, and it's something that we mention on Tisha B'Av. What's interesting, however, and here's the rest of the story, and that is that although in the Medrash Eila Eskara, the 10 names are the way that they are listed, but there was a big shaila amongst the historians whether the names are even right. And there was one in particular that was controversial. The Seidah HaDoiris, that was written by Rabbi Chil Halperin, brings from the Sefer HaYochsan. Seidah HaDoiris was written as a commentary to the Sefer HaYochsan. So these are the most classic history works that we have. So in the Sefer HaYochsan and the Seidah HaDoiris, they both say that one of the 10 that are mentioned in the Medrash Eila Eskara was really not one of the Asarugim Malchus. There was a Greis. There was a toy somewhere. Rab Chanina ben Chachinoy is mentioned as one of the Asaru Ruge Malchus in the Medrash Eila Eskara, but says the Sefer HaYuchsin and the Seyed HaDoiris, it wasn't Rab Chanina ben Chachinoy, but rather it was Rab Chanina Skan HaKoyenim. He was one of the Asaru Ruge Malchus. So take out Rab Chanina ben Chachinoy and insert Rab Chanina Skan HaKoyenim. And that, of course, would explain the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, where the Mechaber says on Chof Hei Sivan, something very terrible, something very dramatic happened. Rab Shimon Gamliel, Rab Yishmael, they were two of the Asar Rugei Malchus. Rab Chanina Skan HaKoyenim, oh, Lefida, Sefer HaYuchsin, Lefida Seyed HaDoiris, Rab Chanina Skan HaKoyenim was brutally murdered. He was murdered by the Romans. In fact, it goes down as one of the Asar Rugei Malchus. So, of course, it stems very nicely with the Gersa of the Seyed HaDoiris. Very nicely with the girsa of the Sefer HaYuchsin, but just two ha'aris, talk about digressing from the digression, two ha'aris as it relates to the Asar Ruge Malchus, two, I think, fascinating ha'aris. And again, it's this week's parasha, because this is the parasha of Mechiras Yosef, and this is always, right, Shabbos Chanukah time, so this is the topic right now, the story of Mechiras Yosef. We'll see in a minute what an important role this plays in Jewish history. And that is, I saw in the Kinnis, Mesoiris HaRav, from Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. Thank you, Rabbi Weil. He says something fascinating, a brilliant lomdus. He says that there are two times that we mention the Asar Ruge Malchus. We mention on Yom Kippur, and he said that we mentioned it also on Tisha B'Av. But he said, V'loi roi zeh k'roi zeh. In other words, the reason that we mention it on Yom Kippur, and the reason that we mention it on Tisha B'Av are for two different reasons. He said, why do we mention it on Tisha B'Av? Why on Tisha B'Av do we talk about the Asar Ruge Malchus? He said, pshat based on the Gemara Masechtas Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara that brings a pasuk in Zechariah, where Zechariah talked about all the different fasts, Tzayim HaRevi'i, Tzayim HaChamishi, Tzayim HaShvi'i, Tzayim HaAsiri, and these are the four fasts that we fast over Churban Beis HaMikdash. Right, we fast Asar B'Tevis, we fast Shavasa B'Tamas, of course Tisha B'Av, and Tzayim Gedalia. Says the Gemara, in the same pasuk, Zechariah seemed to put the fasting of Churban Beis HaMikdash with the fasting on the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam, v'lametcha, it's coming to teach us, sheshkula misasan shal tzadikim kisreifas beis alikeinu, that misas tzadikim is shakul kisreifas beis alikeinu. Misas tzadikim is shakul kisreifas beis alikeinu. But Rabbi Yashaber said there's another Gemara, and this is a Gemara Masechtas Ma'akot and Dafchav Chesam Arav. The Gemara says, woman, this v'cham misas miriam l'paraduma loy melacha ma. Just like the paradum is mechaper, so too the misa of tzaddikim is mechaper. Incidentally, I once heard from the mashkiach, Ramatisiol Solomon, Zalzayin Gezunt. He once said that, I heard this at a Levaya, he said that, why did Chazal pick the paraduma to use as the carbon? That's the mashal. That ma paraduma mechaperes, af misasan shal tzaddikim mechaperes. Dik tachatas, it's Al Rishayna Manu Mitzdaren that the Paraduma is even a carbon. Chattas Kari Rachman. Why did we pick the Paraduma? So he said the reason is because the Paraduma is Zois Chukas HaTorah. That's something that we can't understand. He says sometimes a tzaddik dies and sometimes it's a Paraduma. It's Zois Chukas HaTorah. Ve'en lecha reshus lahari rachareh. Lama nismecha misas tzaddik, misas mirin, the parish is Paraduma. Just like the Paraduma, which is mechaper, and it's something we don't understand because that's the quintessential mitzvah in the Torah. That's something that way above our pay grade. We have no ability to understand what the Paraduma is. That's the bar aduma. After misas and shal sadikin. Sometimes we can't understand misas sadikin. But said Rav Yosher ben Soloveitchik that it comes out this two dinim in misas sadikin. He says misas sadikin is kisreifas beis olakenu. That's the gemara Rosh Hashanah daf yud ches on the beis. And misas sadikim is mechaper. Lama nisvach misas miri lepar aduma. That's the gemara Martin Cotton daf chav ches on aleph. So he said on Tisha B'Av, you know why we mentioned asar ruge malchus? Because Tisha B'Av is the day that we mourn sreifas beis olakenu. That's what Tisha B'Av is. And lelametcha sheshkulos misas sadikim kisreifas beis olakenu. So what do we say on Tisha B'Av? We say asar ruge malchus because that's sreifas beis olakenu. And he said on Yom Kippur, that's the day of kapara. It's davoida. Now we're supposed to get kapara. This is in the neshama. We again mentioned Asar Ruge Malchus. Why do we mention Asar Ruge Malchus now? That's because of my cotton daf chav chesam aleph. Because ma kapara aduma mechaperis af misas and shal sadikim mechaperis. So it's two bazundar adinim. The reason we talk about the misa of the tzadikim, the Asar Ruge Malchus on Tisha B'Av, and the reason we mention Yom Kippur for different reasons. On Tisha B'Av, it's because it's kisreifas beis alakenu, rashon yud chesam beis. On Yom Kippur, it's because of the kapara. That's my cotton chav chesam aleph. And he went on to say that if you go through the nusach of the piyut of Arzei Alavonoi that we say on Tisha B'Av and the piyut of Eila Eskira Tir Rabbi Shmuel Atzmoi that we say in Yom Kippur, one is geared towards Avelos Kisreifas Beis Olikeinu and the other one's geared towards Kapara Af Misa Sadikim Mechaperes. Either way, that's the first Torah. The second Torah is that the Rebbe Simcha in an epic Meshech Chachma. There's a classic Meshech Chachma, then there's an epic Meshech Chachma. This is epic. So Rav Meir Simcha, in an epic Meshech Chachma, this is in Parshas Achrimos. So he's talking about Yom Kippur. And he says, the nusach of the tefillah on Yom Kippur is ki ata solcham liyisrael u'machalam l'shiftei yeshurim b'chol dar v'dar. Right, this is what we say. Ki ata solcham liyisrael, Chodesh Baruch, you forgive the Yidin, u'machalam l'shiftei yeshurim, and you forgive the shvatim b'chol dar v'dar. So he says, hine, b'chol tefillah l'niskar shiftei yeshurim. There's no other tefillah in the world where you find this nusach. Shiftei yeshurim. Haloi davaru, he says. What's pshat? Why is it that you find this nusach uvamachal on the shifte yeshurim? So he said, I'm going to skip towards the end. He says, pshat based on this. He says, we all know the Gemara. The Gemara in Perek Chelek. The Pasuk says, ubiyoyim pakti ufakadati. Says the Gemara, ein lecha kol dar she'enu noitol unkiya achas micheto ego. Kadosh Baruch says, ubiyoyim pakti, every time I'm going to remember the Averis of Klal Yisrael, ufakadati, I'm also going to remember the chet ha'egel. There is no punishment that the Yidden ever have to endure that doesn't have in a little bit of the chet ha'egel. Every single oynish of the Yidden had in a little bit of a chet ha'egel. This was a chet that unfortunately Klal Yisrael has to suffer from l'dayre dayres. Said Rav Meir Simcha, that everybody knows. But what everybody doesn't know is a medrash in Mishle, a medrash shoicher toiv, simen aleph, Rabbi Abin Oimer, b'chol dar adayin chet shal mechiras Yosef kain. Every single generation has a little bit of the Chet HaMechiras Yosef. And Rav Meir Simcha's magdir as follows. He says, the Chet HaEgel was the Aviyah voice. That's what we're learning now. Was the Aviyah voice. It was the Avatoma of all the Aveiros of Ben Adam Lamaka. The Chet of Mechiras Yosef was the Avatoma of all the Aveiros of Ben Adam Lamaka. Chet HaEgel was Ben Adam Lamaka. Eilu Elei Hecha Yisrael, Asher Alucha Mimitzrayim. The Chet HaMechiras Yosef, that was Ben Adam L'Chaveri. The brothers went and they were jealous of Yosef and they hated Yosef and then they ended up selling him. But the point is that there's a comparison. There is a shaychis between the Chet HaMechiras Yosef and the Chet HaEgel. And just like by the Chet HaEgel, Ubiyoyim Pakti, Ufakadati, Eilu Chalkol Dor She'enu Noitun Ki Achas Michet HaEgel, Sanhedrin Kuf Beizam Adal Perik Chelek. So too, in the same vein, Rabbi Abin said, "B'chol dar adayin chet shal mechiras Yosef kain." That every single generation has in it a little bit of the chet of mechiras Yosef. So it says Rabbi Simcha. With this, I'll explain a lot of things. We'll mention two of them. So everybody knows that in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, when he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he didn't wear the big days off. He didn't wear the Shemayna Begadim. He used to put on special Begadim. They were the big day love on. Why? Because Ein Katega Nasa Sanegar. Because when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he was trying to get kapara for the chet ha'egel. So he says, "You're trying to get kapara for the chet ha'egel, you can't walk in wearing gold because the dizahav. You're going to see the gold, like Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. You're going to think of the chet ha'egel, so you can't see gold. So therefore, you had to be so sensitive to en katega nasas hanegel." Says Rav Meir Simcha, I think that's why the Kodesh HaKadoshim we know was in Chelkei Shel Binyamin. It was in Chelkei Shel Binyamin. Right, the Beis Hamikdash was partially Chelkei Shel Binyamin and partially the Chelkei Shel Yehuda. For Yosei at Sadik Mitzdayir Olav. Right, Binyamin was Chayfiv Olav Kal. Yom bothered him that he didn't have the whole Beis Hamikdash. But the Kodesh HaKadosh was in Chelkei Shel Binyamin. So says Rav Meir Simcha, why was it in Chelkei Shel Binyamin? says, I'm going to tell you why. Because when the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur entered the Kodesh HaKadosh, one of the things he had to do was he had to get kapara, of course, for the Averis of the generation. But also, he had to get kapara for the Chet Egel. But in addition to that, he also had to get kapara for the Chet Mechiris Yosef. So Rav Meir Simcha says, had the Kodesh HaKadosh been in the Chelik of any of the Shvatim other than Binyamin, it would have been in Katega Nasas HaNeger. How could you walk into Shevet Ruvain and suddenly now ask the Ebeshda to forgive you for the Chet Mechiris Yosef? You're standing in Shevet Ruvain. Hashem sees the Chet of Ruvain. Ain Kategan Asa Sanegar. The only one of the Shvatim that played no role in Mechiris Yosef was Binyamin. And that's why the only place it's able to be is Beshevet. Incidentally, the Svar Makdoshim say that even Yosef played a role in the Chet of Mechiris Yosef, right? Because first of all, Yosef seemed to have instigated the brothers a little bit, and Yosef never revealed his fault. So he played a little. Binyamin was 100% innocent. He was the only one. And as a result, he played zero role in the Chet of Mechiris Yosef. So it was only possible to be Bechelke Shel Binyamin, because otherwise he would have had a problem of in Katega Nasa Neger. Says Rami Simcha, that's another Oimek. Another, a Tam Nistar, why the Kohen Gadol couldn't wear the Shmaita Begadim when he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because one of the Shmaita Begadim was the Chayshin. And he says, you know what you had on the Chayshin? You had the names of all the Shvatim. So he says, could you imagine the Kohen Gadol is going to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He's trying to get Kapara now for the Chet of Mechiris Yosef, and he's wearing the names of the Shvatim. How could he walk in? Ain't Katega Nasa Sanegar. Just like there couldn't be gold, because gold is going to remind you of the Chet Egel. You couldn't have the names of the Shvatim either, because the names of the Shvatim is going to be Ain't Katega Nasa Sanegar. He said, because when the Kohen Gadol entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he was getting kapara for the Averis of the year, the Chet HaEgel will be a Paktiu Pakadati, and also for the Chet Mechiris Yosef. Because Rav Abin said, and that's why you had, this is Mamish, the abridged version of it. He goes on and on, explains the whole, he says, Rav Meir Simcha, that's the Nusach. Ki ata solchon Yisrael, umachal on the shifte Yeshurim b'choldar. See, Taitches, Yisrael is a remnant to the Chet HaEgel. Because this is what the Yidden said when they made the egel, Eile Lehecha Yisrael. The word Solchon, where does that come from? Vayomer Hashem Solachti Kidvarecha. When did Hashem say Vayomer Hashem Solachti Kidvarecha? That was after the Chet HaEgel. On Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us for the Chet HaEgel. Ki ato solchon vayoyim Hashem solachti kidvarecha on the Chet HaEgel v'Yisrael. To the Yidden that said, Eile Lehecha Yisrael. Umachal on the Shifte Yeshurim. The Ibishta also forgives the Shvatim. What do you mean the Shvatim? When are we called Shvatim? No, we don't mean us. The Shvatim. We mean the Shvatim that sold Yosef. Because on Yom Kippur, there's an idea that we need Kapar not just for our Averis, but Ubiyoim Pakti Upakadati. So there's a Din Vechejman now on Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, there's Bechaldar Adayin Chetcham Achirus Yosef Kayan. And that's what the Pasuk is saying. Not only do we get Kaparu, but Hashem, Ki Ata Solchon Yisrael, you forgive the ufakadati, that's the Chet HaEgel, uvmachal on the Shifte Yeshurim, and you forgive the Chet HaMechiris Yosef. So I was thinking that in the Medrash of the Eila Eskera, so one of the questions that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, when Tir Rabbi Shmuel Atzmai, v'ola b'siludim, he asked the Malach Gavriel, he said, why us? He says, I understand for all these dairis, for all these generations, there were so many tzaddikim. There were so many tzaddikim that lived. Now in this generation, all of a sudden now you decided that 10 people have to. Omele Rabbi Yishmael, ad atalei matza kodesh baruch hu priya ben mechirasi elu b'noi. Omele Gavriel, so the Gavriel, the Malach, told Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, chay nafshecha Yishmael b'ni. Right, Yishmael b'ni of Tanya fame. Chay nafshecha Yishmael b'ni. Shem yoyim, shem machro ha-shvatim es Yosef. From the day that the shvatim sold Yosef, lo yimotza kodesh baruch hu bedor echad, asor et tzadikim v'chassidim k'may ha-shvatim. There was never a generation that had 10 tzadikim like these tzadikim. Lefichach ha-kodesh baruch hu parem yichem. That's why kodesh baruch hu has to fix. That's why it's happening now. But maybe lefira meir simcha, we could say another time. A tam nistar. A noifach. And that is that maybe till this generation, there was a Beis HaMikdash. There was an Avoid on Yom Kippur. Whether it was the 40 years in the Mishkan, 39 years that they had a Mishkan, or whether it was Shiloh, it was Noiv, it was Givon, or then when it was the Bayis Rishon, and then there was Bayis Sheni, the Yidden used to get Kapara for the Chet HaMechiris Yosef. When did they get Kapara? Ki ato solchon liYisrael u'machal on the Shiftei Yeshurim. When the Kohen Gadol would go lefnai v'lefnim, he would get Kapara for the Chet HaMechiris Yosef. But now the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It was Churban Bayis Sheni, and the Eibishter knew the Yidden were going to go into a bitter Golus. They were going to go into a Golus that was going to last thousands of years, and the Yidden were going to have on them this
terrible gzera of the chet of Mechiras Yosef. What's going to be with the chet of Mechiras Yosef? We don't have the Kohen Gadol anymore to go lefnei v'lefnim to get kapara. Now we have to figure something out. And now we're going to have to take 10 tzaddikim, and these tzaddikim, their souls, their lives are going to be a kapara for the chet of Mechiras Yosef. Until now, to every Yom Kippur, there was an idea of ki'ata sochel Yisrael u'machal on the shiftei yeshurim. But now that we don't have the avoid anymore on Yom Kippur, so maybe that's why the whole Asara Rugei Malchus, it connects so much. Number one, to Churban Beis HaMikdash. Number two, to Yom Kippur. Because it's only a result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, maybe, that the Ora Asara Rugei Malchus. And it's so much a part of Yom Kippur, because it's because of the, what we don't have of Yom Kippur, that we had the Asara Rugei Malchus. And really, they're coming to be Mashlim Yom Kippur. Once upon a time, there was an Avoid of Yom Kippur. We don't have that Avoid. But you know what we have? We have the Misa of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. We have the Misa of Shimon Gamliel. We have Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. We have Rabbi Chanim and Tradin, who was taken and he was wrapped up in a Sefer Torah. And that's the way he was killed. And we have the Misa of all the different Tanam that's mentioned, the Medrash of Eila Eskra. But either way, it could be that's number one, a Tam Nistar for why the Asara Rugei Malchus in that dar. Whose kasha was that? That was Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol's kasha that he asked the Malach Gavriel, and maybe just a little bit of a knetch as to why we say it dafka on Tisha B'Av and why we say it dafka on Yom Kippur.